And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are having a fantastic day. Yesterday looked great as we hit 70 yesterday, which is a wild temperature swing from the week before when we had minus 15. So, it's now time for Greenside Up. And joining me in studio today is Wendy Powell and David Scrantz. Ladies, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So, before we get started today, as we always do, we like to talk about a few things that are going on, programs that are going on. And Wendy, do you happen to have those right now?
Yes. So, on Monday evening, the 1st of March, we're going to be doing an Evidence of Improvement virtual opportunity for our folks. This is going to cover the ins and outs of production record keeping for livestock producers. So we're calling it Evidence of Improvement because that's really ultimately the goal of production record keeping, to show that we're improving our operation. So Dr. Jamie Lynn Farney and I are going to cover the whys of what we're going, why we want to keep things, some of the data that you might want to be recording, as well as some of the programs that you can use accomplish those goals. We've also got the Living Well Together series that has been rolled out. I'm not as familiar with this one. It's a family consumer science program series, but they're going to cover checking your credit, med instead of meds, which will cover the Mediterranean style eating pattern, and then family meal times and science of sleep. And it looks like those programs are at 6:45. They're a virtual opportunity as well. Every Thursday evening, 6:45. So check out our Facebook page for more information there.
All right, so some good programs there for that. And Damon, we'll go ahead and start with you this morning. And again, good morning. And what are you talking about today? It sounds like you're talking about chickens today.
Yes, good morning. I will be talking about chickens, more specifically different things to consider if you're thinking about getting chickens. I know last week it was really cold and kind of miserable, definitely felt like winter, but this week with the warmer weather, it's feeling like spring, and I know it has me thinking about planting gardens, and feed stores in the area have gotten baby chicks in, so it's definitely starting to feel like springtime. And this time of year, a lot of folks are starting to think about getting chicks. Maybe it's their first time venturing into raising chickens, or they're thinking about just adding new chickens to the flock. But for those who it's their first time raising chickens, I just want to cover a few considerations to think through to help prepare them for success in raising chickens.
And so there are several questions that people may want to ask, and probably one of those questions are there city ordinances that don't allow poultry to be raised in your location? Of course, that's probably changes from city to city.
Yeah, so that will change from city to city. So that is one thing you want to consider if you're living in town. I know Fredonia recently passed that people are able to have four hens if they live in town. And of course, a lot of towns, if they do allow chickens or homeowners to have chickens in town, that usually is only hens, not roosters, as roosters can be noisier and neighbors don't always appreciate them.
Yeah, neighbors trying to sleep, and all of a sudden the rooster's like, all right, time for everybody to wake up.
Yeah, and they're not always very timely on just crowing as your alarm clock in the morning. Sometimes they pick random times that isn't
3
appreciated.
O'clock in the morning, you're like, what's going on? Why is he crowing already?
Yeah, especially when they're first learning how to crow.
Right. And it's kind of funny with chickens. My parents live in OKC, and I think you're allowed to have chickens there, but there's like apparently one day just randomly my dad went into the backyard and there were two chickens out there just randomly out of nowhere. He doesn't have chickens of his own and they're just hanging out back there. And he doesn't know who they belong to or anything. And they just kind of hang out back there and kind of do their own thing until the cats start chasing them. Then they fly off and then they come back. Uh-huh. But for some reason, they like my dad's backyard. I have no idea why. So
they must be able to get enough food and water there. And other than the cats, feel pretty safe.
Yeah, exactly. They except the cats are just like, let's go after these guys. Also, is there a source of feed available for growing the type of chickens that are being considered, commercial, ration, certified, or organic?
Yeah, so this around here, it's pretty easy to find chicken feed through Orschlin's, the local feed store, the different co-ops. There's a lot of different places you can look at feed. If you're raising chickens for meat, then you might want to make sure there's a grower ration available. I know some people are looking at raising more all-natural, organic type of chickens. So if you're looking to go that route, then you'll want to contact the co-ops and feed stores and make sure that organic ration that is certified is something you can order in if you're wanting to go with a more specialty feed. So those are just a few things to check into. And also getting a layer ration if you're raising hens, or if you're raising chickens for eggs, versus those growing rations, are just a couple of things to check into before you get the chickens.
And another thing that people probably need to check into is if they have the time or the manpower for to take care of chickens, because they can be kind of time-consuming at times, can they not?
Yeah, like any animal, they can be a little time-consuming, making sure they have food and water available. One of the nice things about chickens is they aren't as time-consuming as other animals because there's feeders and waterers available that you can fill up with plenty of feed and water ahead of time that will last chickens for several days. But of course, you do want to check on them daily, collect the eggs, things like that. So they're not as time consuming as other animals, which also makes them a great first project for kids if they're interested in raising animals. But you do want to consider the time it will take to care for them. And also, if you're going to go out of town, if there's a neighbor or a friend, someone who can just look in on the chickens, make sure they're doing okay, that you're not having any problems with predators, that sort of thing.
And speaking of which of that, you definitely need suitable housing for them, correct?
Yes, suitable housing is very important. There's several different options when it comes to housing for chickens. There is chicken tractors, which you sometimes see on Facebook, which are smaller areas for just a couple of hens that have a little house for them and then a little enclosed run. And these are popular because you can move them around your garden or yard for the chickens to kind of help with bug control. And then there's also the chicken coop and then the hen house. So chicken coop is usually a smaller house and yard where just the chickens can go in, but you can raise, usually the roof, you can raise up to collect the eggs and clean out the nesting mode. Yeah. And then a hen house usually refers to a larger, it's more of a, like a shed style that you can actually walk in. And you can buy these, or there's a lot of plans on the internet for you to make these yourselves. So a lot of different options to consider depending on how much space you have and how many chickens you're interested in raising.
And another thing you should ask yourself also is, you know, can you use this flock for a source of income? Is there a market for the products that a chicken has, like the eggs, and can chickens be sold in the area?
Yeah, exactly. So some people just want chickens, of course, for egg production and food production for their own family, and of course for the enjoyment of watching the chickens. But if you're interested in raising more chickens, or maybe you end up with more eggs than you and your family can consume, you might want to look into different markets for these products. So eggs you can share with family and friends. You can also sell them at farmers markets. If you're raising chickens for meat, those whole chickens you can also sell for meat. And if you're interested in doing that, contact us at the extension office and we can help you figure out and what you need to do to get certified through the Department of Ag to sell that.
And another good question to kind of ask yourself is if there are facilities available for processing chickens, especially if they get like at the end of their productive period.
Right. So this is more if you're, of course, interested in raising chickens for meat. There aren't any larger processing facilities close by, so this would be something that you would have to consider if you're willing to process the chickens yourself. And if you're wanting to raise several chickens for meat, then looking into some of the equipment needed to do that.
Okay, so those are lots of questions you need to ask yourself before getting chickens. So after you have already asked yourself those questions, what would be the what would you consider to be the next step?
Yeah, so there's several questions to go through there after you've decided that, yep, raising chickens is for you. The next step is to consider which breed you're going to raise. Different breeds of chickens have been developed for specific purposes, as I kind of touched on earlier. There's chickens you can raise for egg production versus chickens for meat production. So, for example, meat birds have been bred for increased meat yield and improved feed conversion rates and also a faster growth rate. So breeds that have been developed for meat production usually will not lay enough eggs to make it economically feasible to keep them beyond the broiler fryer age, which is the age they reach maturity to be processed for meat. And there's a lot of different broiler breeds you can buy from hatcheries. And likewise, chickens that have been developed as egg layers have been bred for increased egg production and smaller bodies. So they're a little bit smaller, a little bit finer boned, and they won't grow as rapidly to make good meat producers. So once you've decided if you want to raise chickens for meat production versus egg production, then you can look into those different breeds, especially when it comes to egg production. You have your brown egg layers and your white egg layers.
I love the brown eggs. I don't know why. It seems like they're always double yolked for some reason. So
yeah, brown eggs. My mom had Australorp chickens when I was growing up, so that's what I kind of like, just because it reminds me as a kid growing up. And there's also the multicolored egg layers, or the Easter egg chickens that lay the lighter colored blue or green eggs that are fun to have around. So those are just different things to consider.
Yeah, I always I love getting the brown eggs because one, they're cool looking, and two, for some reason it seems like the last package I got of them, like nearly 7 to 8 of them were double yolked for whatever reason. So it's like yeah, this is great. It's like that's 2 eggs in one right there. I don't have to open up another egg.
Works out great for making breakfast in the morning.
It definitely does. It's a nice surprise in the morning. But of course, you know, we're talking about meat birds and also egg laying birds. Are there any dual purpose birds that kind of do both well?
Yes, if you're interested in doing both, there are some dual purpose breeds. With these breeds, it is desirable most of the time to raise the roosters, which are the males, for food because they're bigger, so they'll produce more meat, and then keep the hens, the females, for egg production. And the breed should be selected for the purpose desired, as we've talked about before. And then also, if you're in town and you can only have hens, or you just want to keep a few hens and only have one rooster, if you're purchasing them from a hatchery, most hatcheries can determine the sex of day-old chicks and will be able to separate the males from the females for you if requested. And this will help ensure that you get 5 hens and only one rooster instead of 5 roosters and only one hen.
All right, and our last question here is, once you've decided what type of chicken you want to raise, what's next after that?
Yeah, so then you'll start looking at your options for purchasing chickens, as well as thinking about and building the style of house that you decided for the chickens. So you'll want to determine if you want to start out with chicks or adult hens. Usually chicks is the most common way people go. And with chicks, one consideration is if you're wanting to raise them to lay eggs, for example, it's going to be about 4 to 6 months before those hens reach maturity and start laying eggs. But purchasing baby chicks from a hatchery or a local feed store is a common method for either meat or egg production. And if you're ordering chicks from a hatchery, it is important to plan and order chicks well in advance to ensure getting the desired number and kinds of birds, as in the spring, a lot of people are ordering chicks. And also when purchasing from a hatchery, you want to order from one that participates in the National Poultry Improvement Plan. And this will just ensure that the birds have tested clean for certain diseases or have been produced under disease prevention conditions. And this is just to make sure that you get a good start to raising chickens and that they're disease-free. And, of course, additionally, chicks can be purchased from various farm supply stores. And often there will be an option to purchase straight-run chicks or pullets. Straight-run refers to just hatch and usually refers to you'll get about 50% female and 50% male unless you specify. And then pullets are chicks that are a little bit older and more mature and don't require as quite the care and attention when it comes to newly hatched chicks that still need to kind of be kept inside in a more climate-controlled environment.
All right, Damon, some great information there. We need to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll have Wendy Powell talk about her subject for the day. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. And welcome back to Greenside Up right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. Of course, we already heard from David Scrantz this morning about chickens. We'll have that interview up on our website. And it's now time for the second part of our show today. And Wendy Powell joining us this morning. And Wendy, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you, Kyle?
Doing pretty good. So, of course, last week we had, you know, the freeze, the deep freeze. So that can have effects on reproductive systems of animals. Can it not?
Yes, it can. And I've had a few questions from livestock producers wanting to know a little bit more about that. So I've done a little bit of digging into it so I can hopefully answer those questions.
Absolutely. So one of the questions that we've gotten is, do we need to be concerned about our livestock breeding ability since the freeze has let off?
Yes, essentially, we do need to be keeping an eye on several different aspects of our herds, and that goes for flocks as well. So making for sure that they're going to be ready for this upcoming breeding season is going to be essential if we want high conception rates.
And again, that was so cold last week. And are there some concerns from across from all farm species? Could this be across all the species that this could be a concern?
Pretty much. Anything that is pastured, we need to be concerned about. Generally, hogs are not going to be in this category simply because they generally have more housing, especially in the cold temperatures like that. We've talked before, Kyle, about housing winter conditions for pigs. And they're quite a bit different than our sheep and goats and cattle and horses. So they don't typically follow all of these precautionary statements, but we do need to be looking at them as well. So, yes, cattle, sheep, goats, even the horses, we need to be keeping an eye on.
And what measures can be taken to ensure fertility? Because, again, with that freeze last week, that could have a huge effect.
Sure. So with our herd males, all of the bulls and bucks and rams, we want to be doing breeding soundness exams on those. This year is going to be incredibly important. Even if you didn't see signs of frostbite, then those breeding soundness exams, 45 to 60 days after the event is when those exams need to take place. Work with your local vet. Make for sure that you get those this year. Otherwise, if you are turning a male out with your females and you don't realize that he's not fertile, then you're going to have some pretty disappointing preg checks.
Yeah, so about a month and a half from 2 months from now is when that check needs to be done, correct?
Yes. And so, unfortunately, that actually lines right up with the time that a lot of folks are turning bulls out with females, with cows. Little bit different seasons with different species, but a lot of folks are spring calving around here, so April is when we're turning out to pasture. So if you are looking at your bull lineup and you see that you're turning out at that point, you need to be aware that you might not have a fertile bull whenever you thought so. So having an extra plan in place will be ideal if a bull seems to fail their breeding soundness exam.
And you said frostbite. So what is frostbite?
Frostbite is when the skin and gets so cold that blood circulation is reduced or stopped. So it can even affect nerves eventually. But the main worry is going to be that blood circulation. And essentially it just, the blood simply doesn't circulate. And so those tissues can be damaged or even get killed off simply because they don't have that blood supply.
It's kind of like in a human when they can get frostbite or, you know, sometimes some people get frostbite, they have to have a certain area amputated because it's no good anymore because yes. it's so it's damaged beyond repair.
Yes, that can happen as well. And even sometimes we don't always see the damage right off. So we might be seeing things now since we're a few several days past the freeze. You might be seeing scabs like on the bottom of a scrotum or on an udder. Then if that's the case, then you need to definitely put breeding soundness exams on your calendar. But even if you're not seeing those scabs, go ahead and take care of that just to be ahead of the game.
And does it need to be a month? Does it need to be 45 to 60 days? Because if you do it too soon, you're not really going to be able to tell, right?
Exactly. Yes. If you do it too soon before that sperm cycle cycles through the reproductive cycle there, you could end up getting negative results on your breeding soundness exam, because these breeding soundness exams look at sperm motility, viability. And if you are not all the way through a sperm cycle, then you're seeing that a male is infertile, which in fact, he just needed a little bit more time to heal.
Right. And we're talking about what to look for on males, but what do we need to look on for females as well?
Sure. Yeah. It's going to be those same types of scabs on the udder. Oftentimes, our cows and our bulls are kept separately. I'm pretty sure that's the same case with sheep and goats. So whenever we are out doing chores, we do spend a lot of time with our cows and our sheep and goat, our females. We are just usually more aware of what's going on with them. So you're looking for any scabs on those udders, any loss of vitality. Really, it's that udder that we're mostly concerned about. Ears and tails having frostbite, you know, that's not really going to ultimately affect their production. It's not very pretty, but they're still going to live and be healthy. And the males is where we really get concerned, because sometimes they're off in a pasture that they tend to not be quite as prominent whenever it's not breeding season. So we still need to make for sure that we've gotten those bulls taken care of.
And of course, unfortunately, there could have been, you know, maybe some calves around the area that may have passed because of it's too cold. So if there are mamas that lost their newborns, can they still adopt?
Yes, that's an interesting question. So, calf vitality during these colder temperatures, really concerning, because it's hard for newborns to control their body temperature right after they're born. It takes several hours for them to get that regulated. And when they're wet and they're having to lay on snow or ice, then those body temperatures are even lower. And so those newborns having lost their lives in the cold is very common. I've heard lots of producers, actually every producer that I've talked to has lost calves this
yeah.
year.
Yeah, and so especially with that that cold blast we have, I mean, you can do, you know, I've listened to David's talk about heat lamps that we were running actually today, and even if you have the heat lamps, I mean, it was just, that was such a catastrophic cold that it really almost didn't matter. You could do all you can, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's just mm-hmm. going to happen, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. So if that has happened, and you did happen to have a calf that lost its, or a lamb or a kid, any newborn that lost its mother during the freeze, and you kept it alive, and now you have a female that maybe has lost their newborn, yes, you can still graft that baby onto the new mother. There's lots of different methods to do that, but time is the most important factor. So for a cow or a ewe or a doe to adopt a baby from that's already maybe had a bottle or maybe nursed its own mother, whatever the case may have been, time is going to be most important, because that new mother that lost her calf or lost her baby needs to get right on top of a new one. So if you can transfer the smell of her baby to the new one, that's best. There's lots of different ways. There's products out there that can help with reducing the smell of the calf that's alive. But I'm happy to visit with anybody about that. If you want to have a phone conversation, just give me a holler and we can talk about grafting.
Absolutely. No, so that, and that's a good thing. Like you said, time is the thing. You just need to do it as quick as possible. That, because the longer you wait, the less of a chance that mom's going to adopt that newborn, correct?
That's exactly right. Yes, and she can also start drying up pretty quickly, too.
All right. So, again, some good stuff there. And before we start to get out of here today, though, still, there's a few programs going on that you guys are hosting. And for those maybe that didn't hear the start of the show, what are those programs that you guys are up to?
Yeah, we've got our Evidence of Improvement program coming up next Monday evening. That's going to be a virtual opportunity. We're going to talk about livestock production records. And then every Thursday evening, we've got a program with our family consumer science agents. They're going to talk about various parts of family living. So they've got a program on checking your credit and the Mediterranean diet, the family meals together, lots of good stuff there. So that's Thursday nights. Check our Facebook page for more information.
And ladies, if anybody has any questions about what we've talked about today, or maybe they have questions about something else, how can they get a hold of each of you?
I'm at the Altamont office. That phone number is 620-784-5337.
And I'm at the Independence office. That number is 620-331-2690. But, of course, you can reach either one of us by calling any of our office locations, and they can put you in contact with us.
All right. Sounds good. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you guys here in a few weeks.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have Skank Insurance out of Independence. They'll be on today for the Medicare moment. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.